St. John tells us at the ending of his letter, part of the letter we read today at Mass, "This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood." He says that because as he hung upon the cross and the soldiers thrust a lance into the side of Jesus at the time of his death, blood and water came out. From the earliest days of the church, it has been understood that those two things, the water and blood, symbolize our life in Christ. That is, we receive life in Christ by the waters of baptism, and of course we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist. Thus we have those two sacraments symbolized by that, the water and the blood that comes from the side of Christ, that grafts us into the very life of Christ. Now, not only that, but the place where Jesus was pierced with the lance was also close to his heart. And of course, the heart becomes the symbol of the love of God shown to us in the offering of Jesus himself. I was thinking about the heart and what the heart means to us just as human beings, and I thought about all the different expressions that we use concerning the human heart. For example, if somebody is going to be speaking the truth, we said that person speaks straight from the heart. You can trust what that person says. If we love somebody honestly and sincerely with our whole being, we say, "I love you from the bottom of my heart." If we have pity on somebody and want to show our solidarity with them, we say, "My heart goes out to you." If you want to have a very honest and straightforward conversation with somebody, you're going to say, "We're going to have a heart-to-heart talk." If you want to show the solemn truth of what you're going to say to somebody, you tell that person, "Cross my heart." If you want to give somebody everything that you've got, you say, "I do this with my whole heart." If somebody is more liberal or empathetic, we say that person has a bleeding heart. If somebody is miserly or apathetic, we say that person has a black heart. If we have a deep sense of gratitude and thanks, we say that we have heartfelt thanks. If somebody does something good for us in gratitude, we say to them, "Bless your heart." And oftentimes, if somebody does something stupid or foolish, we say by that person, "Bless his or bless her heart." But in all this, though, the main objective we have is to simply have a heart. To have a heart. To be a person who is trustworthy, honest, good, and loving, and sincere. In other words, a person who is like God. Which makes sense because God is love. And the heart symbolizes love. And for us to have a heart is to be like God, that is, to have love. And just as Christ offers himself for our salvation, as Jesus says, "Greater love than this no one has, but that he lays down his life for his friends." We see that Jesus lays down his life for us so that our sins may be forgiven, that we could experience his mercy, and he feeds us by his own body and blood. He gives us the waters of rebirth and baptism so that we can live in the truth of his love. What does it mean to do that? Well, let's look at the word mercy. So Jesus gives us his mercy, that is, he gives us his forgiveness. But the word mercy in Latin means, or is translated as, misericordia. Misericordia. Miser, or miserere, is where we get our word misery from. That we're sad and suffering, having to put up with a thing. Cordia means heart. It also means to bind something. Let's kind of put all those things together. God wants to bind us to himself through his love. We, however, have rejected God through sin and have wandered away from God. God still wants us back to himself and would do anything possible to bring us back into his fold and has to put up with our sinfulness in the meantime. So, misericordia, God is putting up with our sinfulness willingly. He is enduring all things only because he loves us and from the bottom of his heart wants to bring us back to himself and have union with him. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to understand that because oftentimes we don't love ourselves properly, or we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Maybe it's because somehow, somewhere, someone has told us that we were unlovable, or made us feel unlovable by something that they did or something that they said. Or maybe we've done something foolish in the past, and because human beings didn't forgive us, we don't forgive ourselves. Our expectations for ourselves are so high that we simply keep beating ourselves up because we keep saying, "I can do better." Now, let's look at it realistically. None of us is perfect. We all know that. All of us can do better if we try. We know that too. But at the same time, God is realistic, and so we should be too. Are we going to get perfect in a day? No. Are we going to get perfect in a lifetime? Probably not. Are we trying? All that God is asking of us to do is simply to be honest and to do our best and to be our best each and every day. That's the whole idea of conversion. It's turning away from sin, facing Christ at every moment. Are we going to stumble and fall? Of course we will, and God knows that. But as we heard in the Psalm so beautifully, His mercy endures forever. Forever. So where human beings' love can be limited, and it oftentimes is, God's is not. Because He is love and He is eternal, therefore love is eternal. Where human beings can sometimes hold things over our heads and make us feel unforgiven, God doesn't do that. I don't know if you do this or not. I had to learn this the hard way as a seminarian. So here's how this works. In seminary, to be able to practice the sacraments, right, these older experienced priests come to the seminary and they practice with us. Okay, so I had this old Irish priest, and we were practicing confession. I was the confessor, I was the priest, he was the penitent, right? And so he came and he did his confession, and I gave him what I thought was a good penance and gave him his absolution. He went on his way. He says, okay, we're not finished yet. He goes, now it's the next week. And he had the exact same list all over again. I said the same thing and gave him absolution. Not really, I wasn't a priest yet, I was practicing all this. He said, now it's the next week. And again, he does the same thing all over again. So I got frustrated and said, okay, last time you came here, he said, stop right there. I said, what? He said, what did you just do? I said, I don't know. You broke the seal of confession. And he was right. I don't know if you knew this or not, but a priest can never tell you, oh, last time you were here, you told me X, Y, and Z. Because once you've been absolved from that sin, it's as though you never committed the sin in the first place. If you bring it up to me, that's one thing. I can't bring it up to you. Did you know that? Now you do. If I do it, you can correct me on that. But that's how God is. So every time we leave the confessional, it says, though we have been, it's like baptism all over again. You're freed from everything. And as I've told you before, on the day of judgment, it's Satan who's going to be accusing us of all those things we did in our entire lifetime. And God's going to say, I don't remember that. Honestly, because it's been absolved in confession. It's done. It's finished. It's over. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. So as I said, if human beings ever made you feel unlovable, ignore that. God is love and God loves you. That's why He created you. Sometimes He will test you to the limits and it might feel like He doesn't love you. Sometimes He'll make Himself feel absent only to make you love Him more and to increase your dependence on Him. That's just how He works. If you feel like you're unforgivable, again, that's a human thing that human beings have done to us or we've done to ourselves. God doesn't do that. He wants to forgive. Because He doesn't want us to be far and straying from Him. That's His love. Love and mercy go together. You cannot have one without the other. And God is love, God is mercy. And God's love is always there for us, giving us everything that we need to fulfill our vocation as believers, particularly His grace, His grace. And God gives us every spiritual blessing that we need, helping us to work and to acquire all the material things that we need. But most importantly, His mercy endures forever for all of those who humbly and sincerely come before Him, asking for His pardon and His peace. All He wants from us is the intention to make a change. That is, to always go about continuously turning away from sin and turning toward Christ. His forgiveness and His mercy for those of humble and contrite hearts is absolutely certain. Now, it comes with a stipulation. What God has done for us, we must do for one another. If God has forgiven us, we must also forgive one another in Christ. If God has blessed us with the things that we need, we have to bless others with the things that they need. That's the whole idea about fulfilling the commandments of God, as St. John tells us. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. The love of God is this, that we obey those commandments and they are not burdensome. What's He telling us? All those things of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this, that, and the other, they would be unnecessary if we love God. If we love God, we'd want to worship Him and Him alone. If we love God, we would never lie or cheat or steal or commit adultery. All the things that the commandments tell us, we would simply be loving God with our whole being. Heart, mind, soul, and strength, every fiber of ourselves, and loving our neighbor as we should, because we would see God in them. Out of gratitude, doing for others what God has done for us. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. We have been born again, refreshed, renewed, starting all over. Everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him who is Christ, and we love those who with us are believers in Christ. That's the idea again of the water and blood from Christ's side. We share a common baptism. We share a common Eucharist. We are one body, one spirit in Christ, made one by love. Therefore, brothers and sisters, having received the mercy and the forgiveness of God, let's also live in the peace of God, the peace that is given to us by Christ's mercy and his forgiveness. St. Augustine defines peace as this: it is the tranquility that comes from order. Peace is the tranquility that comes from order. What brings disorder? Sin. What did Christ come to conquer? Sin. Christ came to restore peace, to restore tranquility, to restore order, to restore us doing all things that are good. As Christ did nothing but good, may we do the same. May we love God, love our neighbors, stay free from sin, and show the mercy of God in others. Like Jesus said to the apostles, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Having received the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins, that we cry out with the Apostle Thomas to Jesus, "My Lord and my God."